live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 14th of the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? The Constitution is the key to the solution. I know they don't want you to believe that, but I'm telling you it's the truth. We need to restore the Republic and the traditions of our founding fathers. And ladies and gentlemen, what we don't need to do is look everywhere but the right place for solutions. We do that too. Sad reality, right? We do this all the time. We want to just find some new fancy answer. We don't need a new fancy answer. We need to stick with what we know has worked and has a track record of success for the last couple of hundred years, right? That's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. All right, with that, we're going to welcome Dr. Scott Bradley to the broadcast. His lifelong goal and collegiate series, to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. In fact, I've got some really good news to share with you, sir. As you know, we've been working on getting constitutional counties up forever. And it's been difficult, to say the least. We've been trying to get counties to support our CSPOA resolution. You were heavily involved in the CSPOA resolution of 2014, right?
Yes, I had a hand in some of the actual creation of that, I would say. So yes. I can't take the full credit. I mean, the founding fathers, we got to go back to them and look to their, you know, we're standing on their shoulders. Let's put it that way.
Amen to that. And it's instructive to note that we all were in a room. We worked on this document big time. A couple of constitutional attorneys, many sheriffs and police officers and local officials, some constitutional scholars were involved, me, Dr. Bradley, and others. Then it got better. Because what happened was that Scott Bradley wrote the document that was the, you know what, where do you guys get this stuff from? Source documentation, if you will. It's been a huge undertaking. We've worked on this for a long time. So in 2014, we came out with our main resolution. And I'm telling you, it's pretty strong, pretty bold, pretty good. I love it. Well, to make a long story short, we got a call at the CSPOA from a guy who was the county manager. His name is Bert Ramos from Lander County, Nevada. And he says, hey, this is at the CSPOA, by the way. He says, hey, we want to become a constitutional county. We're like, oh, good. Well, you know, any of you people that want to sign up, you know, here's how they sign up, and we'd love it. That's great. He says, no, Sam, you're not understanding. We want to be a constitutional county. The DA agrees. The sheriff agrees. The county commission agrees. We want to become a county member. So we got off the phone and scrambled a little bit, Dr. Bradley, because we've dreamed of this forever, but we didn't even have a county membership. So we worked on building one. We came back to him. It's $2,500 to become a constitutional county member of the CSPOA. And you say, well, why that kind of money, Sam? Because it takes support to help the DA and to help the sheriff and to support the, you know, county commission and all this. And so they said, yes, okay, we'll do it. So they created their own resolution and they signed and joined. And we went to Lander County, Nevada, and had an incredible event with about 12 to 1,500 people in celebration of that. Well, while I was at that event helping Richard Mack run his table and selling books and talking to people, and I spoke there, I slaughtered critical race theory for the lie that it is. In my speech, Richard Mack spoke, brought up a bunch of different sheriffs. We were all in the rain. Nobody seemed to care. It was an incredible event. Well, while I was at that event, a guy by the name of Rex Steniger came up to me and he said, "Hey, Sam, do you have a minute to chat?" I said, "Of course." He said, "I'm a county commissioner in the next county over, Elko County. And I got cornered by some of my citizens. And they asked me why I'm not willing to be a constitutional county also." He said, "I thought about it, and they're right. So I'm coming to you for help. We want to be a constitutional county." So then I said, "Okay, well, what can I do to help?" He said, "Can you give me some guidance on what our resolution should be? What should we pass?" So I naturally, the first county, Lander County, didn't use our resolution. They just kind of wrote their own. And I commend them for it. Don't get me wrong. We just didn't have time. It took us by surprise. I mean, this was moving so quickly. Anyway, to make a long story short, I gave them the 2014 CSPOA resolution that Dr. Scott Bradley and many of us worked on and put together. And he loved it. But he said, "Sam, I appreciate this, but it's not strong enough due to the COVID outbreak and the abuse we've all taken. Can we add to this?" And I said, "Sure, but I'd like to, you know, get a constitutional attorney, Michael Perutka, and a couple of people to look at it." Anyway, the bottom line is they added to it and made it stronger, Dr. Bradley. And I've reviewed it. It's the same, except for it's just made stronger. There's a couple of more mandates. We had about 8 mandates. They made it 11. We're not going to tolerate the following things, if you will. So anyways, I thought this county commissioner might be a little too exuberant. He wasn't going to get the support he had hoped to get. But he invited me via Zoom to their county commission meeting. And it opens, and Rex Steniger gave a speech. He made a motion to pass the stronger resolution. I'm going to call it the 21 resolution now. 7 years later, ladies and gentlemen, our hard work is paying off after 7 years. So then he reads, he does his opening statement. He then introduces the resolution. Another county commissioner seconds it. Then they go into a discussion about it where the commissioners can make comments, the public can make comments, and other public officials can make comments. Everybody made comments to a person. Everyone was positive. The sheriff got up and thanked the city council for their diligence in giving him the support that he needs to be a constitutional sheriff. The DA was on board. The county commission voted unanimously to pass this stronger resolution. Incredible. The community stood up. Business owners said, "Thank you so much. We need this. We're grateful." Individuals stood up, I mean, to a person. Unanimous passage of this stronger 21 resolution. But it gets better. I'm sitting there in shock of how positive. There wasn't a naysayer in the room. And these are public officials taking the lead on this, mind you. I've never seen that before in my 30 years of public involvement. Never. Never as a constitutional advocate in 30 years have I seen this kind of behavior. It was just tremendous. And then they said this. They shocked me. Rex says, "We want to have a party to celebrate this." He says, "There's a problem, though. We cannot celebrate the party and have a party using government money. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be constitutional. We're not doing that. So I have a resolution here that I'd like to pass, a second resolution, and it would be simply we will open an account and citizens can volunteer money to have a party. We can administer it and support it. We just can't fund it, but we can say that we're a board for it. And we want to support the citizens in having it." And so he opened it up. Quickly, it was seconded, thirded, passed unanimously to where now they've got a fund to raise money to have a party. Well, the party they're going to have is on June 20th in Elko County, Nevada. Elko, Nevada, on the 20th. It's a Sunday. It's Father's Day. They're going to have an outdoor event starting at 4 p.m. celebrating their passage of and becoming a constitutional county, the passage of the resolution and joining the CSPOA. So then they said, "You know what? We need to raise money here. We passed the resolution, open it up. Who will volunteer money?" They literally got a couple of $1,000 in the meeting for the party funded by the citizenry. I was shocked about all that, pleased as could be about all that, and I was going on my merry way. And before we get to the article I want to talk about, I want to give Scott Bradley a chance to respond to all this thus far. It gets better, thus the article we'll talk about. But I wanted to highlight this What do you think of that, Dr. Bradley?
Well, it looks like we're about ready to start a break, but let me just get started. You know, this CSPOA and the constitutional sheriffs and all this kind of stuff, it's kind of an outgrowth of a Supreme Court ruling, the Mack Prince ruling, that told the federal government they couldn't direct the county, the county sheriff specifically in this case that they were suing about. The general government, we could talk about federal and national and all that kind of stuff, but really general government covers the term. The United States government cannot direct the activities of these local authorities. And the recognition of that is a big thing. It's a fast forward to casting off a lot of the false philosophies that have been imposed upon the nation during the last, well, it's mostly this 20th century and 21st century. The resolution with its backup information is all soundly founded, constitutionally based, original intent, founding fathers' quotations galore. It's based on due process and all the things that are Americanist. None of this ramrodding, railroading kind of thing. And just as a little side note, perhaps I might just parenthetically remark, and I'll do that when I get back. We'll talk maybe
you
about
you got it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll go straight to Dr. Scott Bradley in mere seconds. We'll let him continue. He's on fire. Good news. Brush fires of freedom everywhere. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about constitutional counties. Dr. Scott Bradley in the house, and he continues. So the CSPOA was born out of a win at the Supreme Court defending the jurisdictional boundaries between the federal government and even states and the counties. There are jurisdictional boundaries, and leaders in counties need to stand up. Dr. Bradley?
Well, first of all, the people need to know that that is the Americanist way. But getting back to my comments or thoughts before the break, Nevada really is an oppressed state in almost every way, shape, and form. The great, you know, population centers are held by those that promote the socialist perspectives. They have the votes, and that's why they have guys like Harry Reid that end up in the Senate and are so powerful. But it's interesting to me that there's other oppressions, too. The federal government owns over 80%. Well, they don't really own it. It's not constitutional or anything like that. But they own, or they control, I guess I should say, over 80% of Nevada's total land mass. That is absolutely oppression. That's in violation of what the American Founding Fathers intended. That's in violation of the Northwest Ordinance of 1787-89. The equality of the states is absolutely impinged upon by this complete egregious violation. But when I, a few years ago, I was asked to go out and speak in Elko. And when I go speak into an area, I kind of like to get the spirit of the area, if I will. I like to go in grocery stores. I talk to people on the street, just kind of check the feeling out of the community. And the people seemed, by and large, less oppressed and less unhappy. In fact, they were rather pleasant. I mean, they were good, pleasant people, in fact. it didn't fit the mold of what I'd come to see in Nevada so often. And I started asking people. It was really funny. Not funny. It was thrilling to me, actually, that some of them actually had a reason for that. And it was that in their particular county, a smaller percent, about a 10% smaller percent, in their county was owned, operated, controlled, whatever you want to call it, by the general government. And they said with that additional percentage that can be owned and operated and can be made profitable and we can bring prosperity and so on to the community, we're better off than most of Nevada, you know. And I was just thrilled to think, you know what, here's people that are actually thinking about how the socialist program of government ownership and control of the means of production and distribution, that's the definition of socialism, whether it's communism or fascism or Marxism or whatever it is, that's the definition. The government was oppressing and is oppressing Nevada. But the fact of the matter is these people saw with a little bit of breathing room, they could actually prosper better anyway. They weren't as prosperous as they could be if the government didn't control all of that. But the fact of the matter is they knew that. And so this is a more of an awake people. And I'm not talking about the woke generation where all of these snowflakes are out there. These are people that they're thinking about the sound foundation we were delegated by our founding fathers at such great cost, and they're beginning to exercise it. Now, what I might say, too, about, you know, the extra one, I haven't seen the extra points they added to the resolution we put together 7 years ago, but it's not surprising to me that after this farcical theater that we've gone through for the past 15 months with this Fauci facade that's been out there, this debauchery that's been foisted upon the nation and the world, that they would come up with some more things. Now, here's what's happening. I'm kind of enheartened by this thing, too. I think about what happened in England back in 1215. You know, the barons there, you know, they had this King John there, and it was kind of like King John just kept adding to the pile of disturbing things that he was trying to do. And the barons find they've had enough. They say, you know, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not. And so in June of 1215, they got together in Runnymede and they put a sword to the throat of King John and they said, listen here, buddy, you're going to sign this this resolution, if you will, that's going to enunciate a lot of the things that are bugging us. And honestly, it was fairly poorly written. I can just see the barons sitting around the campfire saying, oh, by the way, throw in the thing about the fish traps and throw in this and that and the other. There's things in this Magna Carta that we're talking about that really shouldn't probably ought to be in there. The things that treat Jewish people and women at lesser status before the law and so on. But nonetheless, these guys had put up with enough to say finally enough is enough. And we're not going to put up with it anymore. They were sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's where America's maybe going with this thing. If there's anything good that come out of this Fauci facade, is that perhaps there are some Americans awakening. And to become a constitutional county, I mean, who should have to do that? It should be a no-brainer. Everybody say, yeah, we are. What do you mean we got to pass a resolution? No. That's just the way the Americanist philosophy works. There's a separation of power. There's a delegation of power. There's checks and balances. And there is this federal system wherein the general government has certain powers delegated exclusively to it. There's other powers it shares with the states. But look at the 10th Amendment. It says, if we didn't delegate power to you, general government, you don't have it. You turkeys need to crawl back in the box, and here's the deal. People need to understand that the general government, we're talking about the executive branch, the judicial branch, the legislative branch, every single one of those creatures is a creature of the contract. They didn't exist before the contract was brought into existence and ratified. None of them existed, and they, because they are creatures to the contract, have no authority to do anything but what is delegated to them within that contract. The states, being the creators of the contract, need to intervene. And the states need to say, the heck you say, of course I could state it more strongly, there needs to be things like state legislatures that say, no, we're exercising a prerogative that's constitutionally and sound and known and understood from the very beginning. We can nullify, overstep. Now, by the way, there were two resolutions written back in 1798, the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions. James Madison and Thomas Jefferson collaborated on both of them, although there's a lot of people that don't really understand that. But the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions, people need to get them out and read them, and they should cheer all the way through. Basically, they outline the fact that if the general government oversteps its bounds, there are two ways by which to stop that. One way, if the general government was delegated a certain power, like, for example, the tariff power, which had a lot to do with the so-called Civil War, the oppression that was, the general government has the power to establish tariffs. And the real constitutional way to solve that, because it is a constitutionally delegated power, is to solve that at the ballot box, because they do have a power to do tariffs. If they overreach that power, we need to correct it by the vote. On the other hand, though, it's clearly understood that if an undelegated power, or a power that was not delegated, if you will, is usurped by the general government, the states have a duty, a constitutional duty, to intervene and say, the heck you say, we are going to intervene, and it's an act of love, because we are doing this to preserve the republic. If the general government becomes tyrannical, oversteps its bounds, and begins to oppress the people.
And we really shouldn't say if, Dr. Bradley. We should say when.
It is.
Right?
Okay. No, it is. It is not when. It is happening. The footprint of the general government right now over the nation, well, just like I pointed out, look at this. In Nevada, we're talking about 81.07% of Nevada's total land is held, controlled, not really owned, not constitutional, anything like that, by the general government. Okay? Utah's 2/3. Well, but here's the problem. By definition, if you look at the definition of socialism, government ownership or control of the means of production and distribution, and land is the primary principal origin of wealth, of production and distribution. Land is really what that is. Okay, out of the land we get all our wealth. I mean, whether it's water, whether it's minerals, whether it's agriculture. I mean, you pick your poison, if you will. Some of these other phony baloney things that we're talking about, that they try and stretch at, we won't get off on those tangents because it's not real wealth. But government ownership and control of the means of production and distribution, that's socialism. In Utah, for example, 2/3 of the land mass is owned by the general government. Not owned, I keep... We've got to talk more about this, because people need to understand that when you add state and local
government ownership... Ladies and gentlemen,
it is
unconstitutionally controlled by bureaucrats and professional do-gooders. We're supposed to have equal footing when the states join the union. That got on the altar of betrayal. And therefore, government controls land they ought not. Quick pause, Dr. Bradley. We'll continue, and then we'll get into this article a little bit. Then I got a couple of other news tidbits before the end of the hour. Hang tight, everybody.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden and some Western leaders issued a confrontational declaration about Russia and Chinese government behavior on Sunday's closing session of the G7 summit. The group is calling out Beijing over its internal repression, vowing to investigate the pandemic's origins and shame Moscow for using nerve agents against people and cyber weapons. The Chinese government responded saying, "The days when global decisions were directed by a small group of countries are long gone," end quote. After 12 years and three U.S. presidents, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been replaced by the Knesset in a very slim victory. Naftali Bennett will take his place. She's a priest, and when Reverend Pamela Conrad looks into the heavens, she's really looking into the heavens. By night, Conrad moonlights as a research scientist as a member of the tactical operations team for the Mars Perseverance rover mission. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6. And it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
A 25-year-old man died Sunday of injuries sustained in a shooting that wounded 13 other people in downtown Austin, Texas on Saturday. Austin police named victim Douglas John Cantor. A Massachusetts high school graduate found a better cause for her scholarship money. Brad Bernards with the West Texas USA Radio News Bureau report.
Verda Tetta earned a standing ovation as the class speaker at her Massachusetts high school graduation. But what she did next had the crowd in awe.
I am so very grateful for this, but I also know that I am not the one who needs this the most.
The Fitchburg High School student, who will be attending Harvard College in the fall on a full scholarship, won an additional $40,000 scholarship from her high school at last week's graduation ceremony. She could have used the scholarship for expenses, but instead, the 17-year-old gave it away shortly after it was awarded.
Fitchburg High School is about an hour's drive west of Boston. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Check out his weekly webinars on the Constitution and more. Dr. Bradley, I want you to finish up on this land point you're making, and then we'll move to the article and kind of the next phase in this great news we're laying out here.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole spectrum of things we could do with this thing, and I'm glad to hear that Elko and some other counties are doing this. But the point I was going to make was, I'll take Utah. It's my home state. Two-thirds of the land mass is operated by the general government. When you add in the state-owned or operated and the local municipality-owned and operated, it's just under 90% of government-owned land in the state of Utah. So by definition, Utah, I think, could be easily, reasonably assumed to be 90% communist. Socialist, I mean, you know, communist may be a little harsh term for it because it wasn't brought about by the point of a bayonet or anything, but 90% of the state of Utah fits the defined purpose of socialism. Nevada is worse. So here we have a huge problem there. And people say, oh, but it's so good. But you know what the policy for federal land is? To manage minerals, oil, gas, timber, wildlife, fish. In other words, all the natural resources that would bring about wealth, that would bring about prosperity, that would bring about equal footing with the other states that were there in the original 13. So this is something we need to wake up. And people say, oh, but it's such a good purpose. I'll quote, Henry Grady Weaver back in the 1940s quoted Isabel Patterson's book, The Gods of the Machine, and without reading the whole quotation that I think you'd love to hear about mankind running their own affairs and everything like that. This statement is, the harm done by ordinary criminals, murderers, gangsters, and thieves is negligible in comparison with the agony inflicted upon human beings by the professional do-gooders who attempt to set themselves up as gods on earth and would ruthlessly force their views on all others with the abiding assurance that the end justifies the means. Okay, so here we have these government bureaucrats that you're talking about. Here are the Fauci facade people. Here what they've done is they've destroyed the economy of the greatest nation on earth. They've caused suicide, spouse abuse, drug and alcohol abuse. They've caused all sorts of untold misery. These do-gooders that have tried to control our lives. And so, like I say, these people in Nevada that are writing these resolutions, and they've added to the resolution we put together 7 years ago, have said, in some way, I think, like the barons in 1215, we've had enough. And hopefully the people in America are starting to wake up and say, yeah, we've had enough too. No more will we sit by idly while this oppression occurs, while we destroy the things that made America what it had been for 200 years. And the fools that sit at the head of the government at this point, thoughtlessly on their in their stupor of power, maybe there'll be some pushback. And I hope and pray that what you're seeing in Nevada with this constitutional county movement is just the tip of the iceberg. And I hope it doesn't become the point of the spear, because honestly, the people have a big footprint right now on this nation. It's a boot. It's on the throat of the people. And I don't think they're going to give up their status easily. And I hope and pray that they'll see that they are in the vast minority, and that there will be more counties, more municipalities, more states. Heaven knows we need more states that have a backbone. Utah doesn't have one, but maybe there'll be some that will somehow waken up to some of this stuff.
Well,
that
is certainly the hope, ladies and gentlemen, and we're working on that effort. So we are delighted about this. We are working on this. Now, here's the better part. Rex Steniger, the county commissioner in Elko, Nevada, that really came up to me and worked on this with me, then said, I believe I can get 15 out of the 17 counties in Nevada to jump aboard. And he then took the personal responsibility to write an open letter to the other counties and ask them to be part of it. He reviewed the letter with us, then he sent it out, and then he basically said, I will follow up with each of these counties and let you know where they stand and what we can do to further the cause. So now you got a party going on the 20th in Elko, Nevada, on Father's Day, celebrating their efforts. And you've got a county commissioner willing to reach out to the other 15 out of the 17 counties in Nevada. He doesn't believe he can get Vegas. Clark County's too corrupt, he says. But the other counties he believes will go aboard. So he's working on that for us. And Rex will keep us up to date on the progress of this effort. In the meantime, more things are happening. So I went to the Red Pill Expo, as you guys all know, and we've been playing back sound bites and clips and interviews, and even Dr. Bradley was on with me when we were at 1 hour of the Red Pill Expo as well. So he's caught up on that. But I met with Alex Newman, well-known writer. He's with the John Birch Society, writes for the Epic Times and many other people. And I told Alex this story, and he was shocked, and he says, all right, I want to do an article immediately on it. Well, the article just came out in the Epic Times. Two Nevada counties go constitutional. Alex Newman, theepictimes.com. Now, I got to just tell you this. What is the Epic Times? It's a bunch of disgruntled folks that have been abused by communism that are standing against their country for real news. Isn't that what it is, Dr. Bradley?
Well, and I would hope that it would become such a thing and be recognized as a force to be dealt with in the movement to restore what we've lost.
Amen. By the way, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what your county chair or your county that you're dealing with is doing this exactly right. They're spreading the word, and they go to other counties. And I've got a resolution I put together some time ago. It's a generic resolution for nullification. We mentioned that. The final words in it are resolved that the governor be desired to transmit a copy of the foregoing resolution to the executive authority of each of the other states, and with the request that the same may be communicated to the legislature thereof. So what's happening needs to happen is when you get somebody that's grown a backbone they need to share this, like your county guy is, and this Epoch Times is, and what we should do as states, we should let this grow. And by the way, that's back in the 1798 Virginia and Kentucky resolutions. That's exactly what Jefferson and Madison said. This is an act of love. The states need to band together. They need to act upon this. And there is strength in numbers. And if enough people poured the general government back in the bottle, and you know, this nullification thing, look what Utah did here a couple of years ago with medical marijuana. I mean, that violates federal law. But the Utah people said, no, we're going to do this. It's not medical marijuana, it's medical cannabis, and marijuana is a pejorative term that's been used to fear, have people fear. But the fact of the matter is, that was what they did, and they've exercised nullification without calling it nullification. And that's what the counties need to do to Nevada and to the federal government.
And the principle is real. These resolutions back in 1798 are the ones that document that great solution. Let's quickly tell you about the Epoch Times for a second. The Epoch Times is America's fastest growing independent news media. Founded in 2000, our mission is to bring you a truthful view of the world, free from the influence of any government, corporation, or political party. We aim to tell you what we see, not how to think. We strive to deliver you a factual picture of reality that lets you form your own opinions. The Epoch, in our name, represents our commitment to this mission. We believe in a truly epic times where the faithful representation of our current events won't just be important for the people of today, but the generations of tomorrow. The records we keep now will directly inform the foundations of the history they learn, of the values they will cherish. This knowledge is what drives us now. These people are freedom fighters, as far as I've been able to tell. And it's really neat to see this newspaper take the lead. When you search for this headline, two Nevada counties go constitutional, you see the Epoch Times taking the lead, and now you see a bunch of other news sites jumping on board. Pretty soon it'll be published at LibertyRoundtable.com as well. And I would encourage everybody to publish this story and make it go far and wide. But in this story, it basically tells the story about these two constitutional counties. It quotes liberally from Richard Mack, who was interviewed by the Epoch Times and Alex Newman for this article. But at the end of the article, it has a little statement from me. Do you have that handy, Dr. Bradley? Do you have this article up at all?
No, and I'll tell you why. For some reason, I'm being blocked from it. I can read the headlines. I've been trying to search it out. I can read the headlines, but I cannot read the article in its entirety. And I'm quite frustrated because it is a grand source of knowledge, but for some reason, I am being blocked from it. So you're going to have to read to me because...
All right. So anyway, I find this interesting, but this article's big. I mean, it's long. And it really explains how Richard Mack famously sued the Clinton administration. It talks about how he won at the Supreme Court. It then talks about how the CSPOA was kind of founded. It really goes into the details about Rex Steniger and how he was involved. It really goes into that. And then it says, as the word spreads and citizens across America get involved, Sheriff Mack told the Epoch Times that these two counties are likely just the beginning. When we get back, I'm quoted in the article, and I'll tell you what I had to say. Hang tight. Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
And
we can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hands shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life. I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, back with you live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley with me. We're talking about this incredible article written by Alex Newman in the Epoch Times, Two Nevada Counties Go Constitutional. So I'm now working. What the heck? All right. These two counties are just likely to be just the beginning, says Sheriff Richard Mack. And then at the end of the article, I have a quote, and I think it's really relevant here. CSPOA operations manager Sam Bushman, who worked closely with the counties and the county officials on this effort, emphasized in comments to the Epoch Times that this is a citizen's push in partnership with all public officials. It's important to remember that without the people, these efforts would be for naught, he added. This is a peaceful stand for the rule of law, he said. It's accountability for all, including and especially those who work for the people and take an oath. Bushman said that he was already working with other elected officials on the issue. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak's office did not respond to requests for comment. So there's my comments, Dr. Bradley, and I would submit to you that my comments dovetail with yours perfectly because you said, I hope we're not the tip of the spear. We want this to be peaceful. I pray that it will, and those are echoed in my comments in the Epoch Times, sir.
Well, you know, it's like we said a little bit earlier. Nevada is an oppressed state, not just because of the land issue, but because of the voting mass of the people are in the two largest counties that probably will not associate with this. They have a propensity to go with the socialistic perspective, which is government ownership and control. And so you're probably not going to get a response from the governor because the governor knows his power base comes from the socialists that occupy the two largest counties of the state. And these other people that are out there are, you know, they're non-issues because they can't keep him in office or take him out. Fact of the matter is, as liberty spreads, we're going to find more and more, I believe, that'll join with us. And this is very, very exciting. It's thrilling, in fact, that there's little inroads. But I do believe that the past 15 months have sharpened the teeth, if you will, of those that are going to chew on the tyranny that has been built up. I find it absolutely stunning that common, everyday people, the people that make America really what it is, are the ones that are seeing this, and those in that sit on their thrones at the head of the government, they think they're above it all. And it's one thing, I can't tell you how often I get comments from people that say, why do these people do this? Don't they know that what they're doing will oppress their posterity, their children, their grandchildren, and family members even that are alive today? Don't they know that? And it's so amazing to me that quotation about these do-gooders that I gave earlier that, you know, Isabel Patterson and Henry Grady Weaver used, they think that they know better than all. Here's an earlier statement about that. It is highly presumptuous of any mortal man to assume that he's endowed with more fantastic ability, that he can run the affairs of his fellow men better than they as individuals can run their personal affairs. And that's what these people that sit at the head of the government are thinking to do. I don't care if it's the executive or the legislator or the judicial branch of the general government or it's at the state heads, generally. And I don't care if a Republican sits in the office or a Democrat. Well, I'll tell you, most of the people that sit in office are pandering to the big government things. Utah is a prime example of that, where our current governor, I don't think he could get away with what he's doing if it were not for the fact that he had an R behind his name. And people think, he's one of us. He's a conservative. But in Nevada and that, they don't have to make those errors. They know they can get elected with a D behind their name, you know. But the fact of the matter is, that's how most of them
for
do.
Sure. The parties need to be jettisoned, but this is a huge thing. And so these two Nevada counties go constitutional is important. So it gets even better. So not only did Alex Newman publish this in the Epoch Times, but as far as I understand, it's the lead story sent out to all the subscribers to the New American. And it'll be in the New American coming up from what I'm told as well. So this is serious business in who's taking the lead in the news. Me, Richard Mack, Dr. Bradley, all of us worked on this back in 2014. You got a little bit of information on it back then when we worked on it to the best of our ability. But now this is growing. And now the county document that Elko County passed is really becoming the standard for the upgraded 2.0 CSPOA resolution. The goal is to get a standard that has already been passed by certain counties, already been reviewed by certain DAs, already been analyzed by constitutional scholars and county commissioners and the American people in an effort to get a standard that can go viral across the country and really, really document and give some of these people mojo to stand up against the abuse and tyrannies we're experiencing. So anyway, we wanted to bring that to your attention. There's a lot more we could say about it, but we'll bring it up over the next several weeks as the story unfolds. And give you more on it. Did you hear about the man that got swallowed by the whale, Dr. Bradley?
I read that. Actually, I think it got in his mouth and didn't go down the whole gullet, but it's really funny. That whale, I think,
the guy's name
was
Michael Packard. His name is Michael Packard, and he was diving for lobsters. When he got gulped down, I guess it was in Provincetown, Massachusetts, he got gulped down by the whale. He didn't go all the way down to into the tummy. Somehow he started to go down. He was freaking. He thought he was dead for sure. The next thing you know, he just got coughed back up by the whale, I guess. And they say he's doing better. He's doing fine now. Could you imagine modern time story like that? Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe Jonah. I mean, think about this. And that was the sign of the Savior being in the tomb 3 days. You know, I mean, all of this could be brought into scriptural things. But here's the thing with Jonah.
By the way, as it should, sir.
It should. Jonah was called by God to go preach to Nineveh. It was a tough assignment. Nineveh was not known for receiving these kind of warnings. Neither is America today. And I think those that have a feeling for the cause of liberty need to understand that maybe when they speak the truth, they won't be received so easily. Jonah ran from the assignment. And God kind of got his attention by having him swallowed up by a big fish. And finally he said, okay, I'll go do it. I think more of us need to do that. Okay, I'll go do it. I will stand in that liberty that has been granted to us. And we need to be courageous. Now, Jonah went on to have success. The people repented. They said, okay, fine. I mean, if God's going to take this out on us, and I think that's where America's going, is God's going to get to the point that maybe we've reached the point of no return and we'll have to have a comeuppance. But what if we do repent? What if we do come back to the sound foundation, this godly beginnings of America, where everything we have is based upon, you know, principles of eternal value, you know? And what if we do repent? What if we do turn our hearts around? I think it'll go good for us. Then we can't be like Jonah and say, well, he didn't end up destroying the nation. That's kind of a, oh, man. And so he gripes and moans. But we should rejoice If enough people turn their hearts back to the correct principles, we could restore this nation. As I always say, the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth. That could come back. And by the way, Joe Biden and his cohorts in this European gathering, holy cow, talk about selling the farm, giving it away, undermining, cutting the legs from under America, whatever, however you want to say it, that man is absolutely un-American to the core. And of course, I don't know if he knows he is, because he's probably being directed this way in his handlers, and his handlers are telling him what to say and do, and I'm not sure he really knows what he's saying and doing most of the time, but the fact is, have you been following that? I mean, here it's almost time to quit, but that this is a crappy time to bring that up. But honestly, we have been sold down the river or up the river, whatever the saying is, by the chief executive of the United States and his cohorts. It's absurd. Absolutely.
Well,
I don't know, Sam.
The interesting thing is you highlight this. Joe Biden has sold us south on so many issues. It's hard for me to tell which one's the worst one, though, Dr. Bradley.
True.
Are we talking about
indeed.
The stimulus bills? Are we talking about the worst president in history? Are we talking about Biden not being healthy, according to his doctors, and not able to defend the nation, creating a national security crisis? And what's the worst thing? I just don't even know.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, from the very moment that this whole administration started, he's been selling us out. I mean, the climate thing, for example, this Paris thing. I mean, it took years, literally, for us to get out because of the way they've written the document. But, you know, a wave of the magic wand and we're back in with him. I mean, this idea to take control of the jobs of the world, how the border thing has been a debacle from every moment. You talk about the idea to take control of our health. Where do you start? It's right. You're right. Where do you start?
There's so much to talk about. It's shocking, except to say this. I believe he ought to be arrested for his betrayal of his oath of office. And that's really what we need to talk about. We need to talk about him being arrested and tried for his crimes with the Joe Biden, or I'm sorry, the Hunter Biden fiasco. The selling of secrets. The list just goes. It's beyond imagination.
And we'll dig into Biden. Impeachment is a good option. Impeachment truly is a good option.
A great option. And after impeachment, then we pursue the
And that's the process. Crimes. Once you're booted from office, you go to the crimes. You go to the courts with that. And that's, as Americans, we have always believed that the king can do wrong, and the king needs to be held accountable.
Yes, and we believe that we can create accountability for the king that does wrong. As well through the processes that our founding fathers put together for that very wise and needful purpose. Final story before the end of the hour. This is a sad story that makes me sad. David Archuleta, well-known singer, runner-up on American Idol. David Archuleta comes out as a member of the whatever it is, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, EIB network. I'm just kidding. Whatever plus community. It's really the GLBT QIA plus is how they do it now. Community. What a sad tale that is. Our prayers are with him and his family.
Well, truly. We've talked about this before, Sam. It's coming out of the education system. This has been not just given cover, it's been given encouragement. And I think we're about out of time, but hopefully we can rebut the what they do. They teach the areas of sexuality being the areas where they're focused in the school system, and this is what's being beat into the brains of the kids, along with critical race theory and all these other nonsense things. And America has been diverted from what it really should be. It truly is.
Our goal is to bring it back, ladies and gentlemen. We're working hard for those efforts, and we trust the rest to Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, all we can do is all we can do. But no doubt, God that is heavens, the side of good, honor, right, truth, freedom will win. I know it feels dark and discouraging, but never give up. Do our part, do our best, and trust in God for the rest. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Thank you so much, Dr. Bradley.
Glad to be with y'all. Keep the faith.
And that is a wrap. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.